such as princess pageants, animal shows, county fairs, and the 4-H events, and a volunteer for Little League umpire. He served several years as the chairman of the board of directors of Southern Utah Federal Credit Union. He loved people and was a great influence. Member of the Color Country Chorus for more than 10 years. He loved to entertain and was often called on as to MC the annual Barbershop Show, showing off his great sense of humor and his trademark smiles with dimples. Above all, he loved his family. He was always there to support and guide his family. He encouraged learning that the love of sports, he encouraged learning and the love of sports and the arts. Even when he was disabled and wheelchair bound, he was a great father and grandfather. The courage and cheerfulness he displayed during his 3-year battle with cancer was an inspiration to many. He is survived by his wife, Pam, of 30 years, daughters Tamara, her husband Tad, Ray-Ban, and April, her husband Jason, Hinton, and a granddaughter, Gracie Jewel Hinton, and son Skyler Jewel, sister Miriam, her husband John Nichols of Gilbert, Arizona, her brother Marv and Donna Patch Jewel in Salt Lake City, and his children and brothers and sisters are all surviving with him, preceded in death by his parents, Argel E. and Grace Wilcox Jr., his twin brother, Ray and Roy Jr. Brothers and sisters, it's a privilege for me to be here today. Argel and Grace used to live where Marv and Donna lived. We were neighbors to them for several years. We appreciate them. Affection and love that they were in the neighborhood at that time. And Larry has visited many times in our ward during the years, coming to Salt Lake to visit his parents and family members. And we got to know Larry very well, his family members, I'm sure. We will continue these services at this time, you know, with a musical selection by Skyler Jewel and Marv Jewel, who accompany him on the mandolin, Beautiful Savior. And then we'll have a few remarks by Brother Marv Jewel.
Pam asked me to give a little talk here today, and I'd like to kind of review what has happened in the last 3 days with Larry and our family. Larry passed away 6:45 on Friday morning, and we had phone calls back and forth, and we knew that he didn't have long left. We went down and seen him. Had a beautiful viewing on Sunday evening. It started at about 6 o'clock, and it was a constant stream of, I think, half of St. George came to see Larry. And I think it was about 8:30, 20 minutes to 9 before the line finally subsided. And we appreciated all the friends and down there in St. George that loved Pam and Larry. The funeral went very nice. We had President Hinton spoke. He worked with Larry in the bishopric, and also as he was the state president down there. And he was able to tell the story and the religious side of Larry and his faithfulness and his devotion to the gospel and the love that he had of the community. And it was a beautiful, beautiful service down there. And then Skyler and I did this same number that we just did a few moments ago. It was very special to me and Skyler to do this. And then I had the opportunity to speak for a few minutes down there, and I kind of put his life in like a ball game, like 9 innings. And started out, by the way, like Bishop Bartlett said, he started in this world just about 3 blocks down the road here. At the old Cottonwood Maternity Hospital. It's now a care center. He grew up in about, I think he was second or third grade, over on 39th South and 5th East, which is just a few miles to the north. And his last few years was up here on 57 South and Highland Drive by the Oakwood School. So within just a couple of miles of where we're at right now is where Larry grew up. And Pam grew up over here on about 10th East, wasn't it? And 39th South, they never knew each other over there. It was when they were in college that they met each other in a communications class, I believe. Larry was working at the radio station at that time. And this is where he found his niche in life, was his love of sports and his love of broadcasting those sports. He was a good ball player. He played in a lot of games, and he started out, I think he played in the first games that was played over here in Ken Price Park, just around the corner over here. That was his favorite ball diamond. So it's kind of appropriate that he should be laid to rest, not far from the ball diamond that he always loved to play in. I just kind of took him through his life. I think some of the cousins and that remember when he was about 5 years old, when he wanted to walk up and see his sister up at ZCMI. About 11 o'clock in the morning, and they didn't find him until about 6 o'clock that night. We had all of the posses, the sheriffs, everybody in this whole country looking for him. Finally, some woman had written down his description as he was walking, as she was leaving her work, and he recognized these two little kids. He didn't go alone. He always had a girl with him. He was 5 years old. The neighbor girl was 4, and they were walking up to see their sister up at ZCMI. And we retraced their steps, and we figured he'd cross State Street about 4 different times on his way up there. But he was holding her hand and walking, finally this woman recognized him, stopped the bus, stopped the other bus going the other direction. They dropped him off at the police station up on First South at State Street. That was, I think, his first time he ever had his picture in the paper, hiding underneath the desk there. But and yes, and his name on the radio. So it was kind of a fun time. And then as Larry grew up, he played Little League ball. Mom and Dad, they're right here. They got involved with the Babe Ruth League that Larry was playing in. I'm not going to go through all of it, but he became a very efficient, and he had a photographic memory. And I was thinking, when his memory started to go, when this brain tumor hit him, It was just like taking the paint and brushes away from an artist. And that was his first symptoms. He was giving a ball game, and he couldn't remember simple things that was automatic to him. And this was when Pam and him first became aware that there was a problem. And that's the rest of the story there. I won't go through all of his life, but there is a poem that I'd like to read about Larry. And this could fit any one of us. But if I may read this, this is author unknown, so we're not doing any plagiarism here. How do you live your dash? How do you live your dash? I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on his tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came his date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. And let's put 1947-2003. For that dash represents all the time that he spent alone on earth, and now only those who love him know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love, and how we spend the dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? Where you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand how other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a while. So when your eulogy's being read with your life's action to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you lived your dash? Well, lights have been turned out on the old ball diamond. Broadcast bulletins start. But you know, in baseball, they don't just judge by one game. It's usually a series. And there's going to be a game tomorrow when the lights come back on again. This is just the second game for Larry. His first game was before he came on this earth. And now he's gone to the third game of the series. Take care, y'all. You hear? That was his final. I have another special song that I'd like to play, and I want my boy Bob to read the words to Beyond the Sunset, if you will.
Beyond the sunset, oh blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is begun, earth's toiling ended, oh glorious dawning, beyond the sunset, when day is done. Beyond the sunset, no clouds will gather, no storms will threaten, no fears annoy. O day of gladness, O day unended, beyond the sunset, eternal joy. Beyond the sunset, a hand will guide me to God the Father, whom I adore. His glorious presence, His words of welcome will be my portion on that fair shore. Beyond the sunset, oh glad reunion, with our dear loved ones who've gone before. In that fair homeland, we'll know no parting. Beyond the sunset, forevermore.
Sam has asked that the kids come out and pay a little final tribute to the dad if they would like to do that.
Pam wanted us to get up and give one of our fond memories of Larry, and it's so hard to pick just one. Larry was a wonderful man and a father. He loved his family more than anything in his life. He welcomed Jason and I in with open arms and took care of us, made sure that we were always happy, smiling, and laughing. I guess I could sum it up by when I went to ask Larry for Tammy's hand in marriage, he sat me down and we had a little chat, and he made sure that, one, I would always stay true to Tammy, two, that I would always take care of her and be able to provide for her, and then what was most important to Larry was church. You know, he asked me what calling I had and what my plans for the future were. He wanted to know if I would take care of his daughter as he had done, and, Larry was just an extremely wonderful man and a father, and that's how I want to remember him.
When Larry welcomed me to the family, it took a little bit longer, and I don't have enough time to go into that. It took about 4 hours. We started at midnight when I went over to ask for April's hand, and I remember him. He was watching a baseball game and rocking in his chair, and actually I was rocking. He was just in a chair. And he was sitting there watching the game, and I told him, I says, Larry, there's something I need to ask you. There's something that's important I need to talk to you about. And he kind of turned his head a little bit and says, yeah, go ahead. I'm watching the game. Go ahead. And I says, I really love your daughter. And he says, yeah, I know. I know you do. And I said, no, I mean, I really love your daughter. I want to marry her. Anyway, after telling me that I couldn't buy a boat and I couldn't, do the things of the world so much, he said that same kind of deal, that I needed to make sure that I loved, always loved and respected. And the one thing that is the funniest and awesomest memory to me is as we were sitting there, he was eating ice cream as he normally does, and he was just enjoying the ice cream, and I said, Larry, I want to marry your daughter. And he said, well, would you rather have a bowl of ice cream instead? So that's my fondest memory of Larry, and we'll miss him, and we know he's in a better place, and he's finally serving that mission that he always talked about, and was able to get out and get busy, and that's my memory. Oh, and I'm supposed to tell about a car, too. I know that everybody's getting tired, but Larry had this car that he drove off the lot with his father, and as he drove it off, he was a little kid, and he was just excited and happy as ever, and I wasn't there, but this was told to me by him, and I could just imagine him sitting, and as he was driving, looking over and looking around and thinking he was pretty hot stuff. And anyway, sometime after Larry was diagnosed, the car had sat on his carport there for a while, and as it sat there, a thought came to my mind, and the rest of the family thought, let's try and restore this car a little bit and get it fixed up. So we brought it up to Salt Lake and fixed it, and Larry got released from the hospital for a few minutes, and Pam came over, and Pam made sure to tell me that he's not allowed to drive, he's had his license taken away, and that was really hard, because Larry said, do you mind if I drive? And I said, well, maybe we'll take you for a ride a little bit later. He says, okay. But he kept hounding me all night. Finally, we went for a little ride, and we got down the block, and he just looked at me, and I knew, Pat and I were both, and then I knew he wanted to drive so bad, so I I says, okay, we'll both just sit here, and if anything happens, you just let us know. Your wife's going to kill us. You know that. So we drove, and as he sat in that car, I'm sure that the thoughts of pulling it off the lot again and him looking across and thinking he was pretty neat stuff. We thought he was, as he sat with his hands on the wheel and just looked around like a little kid. And that, honestly, that's probably the fondest memory I have with Larry. And being able to share that time with him was awesome. And is there anything else you want to add? Yeah, my list over here.
I don't really think it's fair. I mean, I've spent my whole life with them. How can I choose just one? I'm trying to even think of the one that I could consider my favorite, but I can't because I have so many. I think some of the things that we remember most as kids, as young kids, is he would do the basketball games for Dixie College, and he would do them in the old gym. I don't know if any of you have ever been to the old gym, but there's not really any broadcast booths. But there's a weight room that had some, like a brick wall, a half wall, that he could look out over and have all his equipment set up on one of the tables in there. And I just remember being able to go with him during the games, and we would play on the weight equipment, and then we'd come over and listen to him do the game, and then we'd play on the weight equipment some more, and then he would take us after the game, and we'd get to meet all the players, and they would always be so nice to us, and they were always so wonderful. And I just remember what wonderful memories I have of going to the basketball and football games with my dad, being so young and having him taking the time and letting us come with him to work and having him love us so much and taking the time. I know that as I was a teenager and most kids hate their parents, I could never say that. I could never say I hated my parents. My dad would stay up. I'd get home from work at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and we'd stay up for another 3 or 4 hours just talking about whatever, the baseball game or what had been going on in my life or school. And Dad was never too busy to take the time for us. And I'm really grateful for that.
I think I have the same feelings as Tammy. It's just not fair to try and sum up our father in just one little memory, but one thing about him that is so important is his support for us. In everything that we did, we always knew that we were his number one priority. When I was in high school, our softball team made it to the state playoffs. He couldn't make it. I was so devastated. And then in the final game, I saw that old Chrysler pull into the parking lot. And out came my dad with blankets to make sure all the team was taken care of. And it was, he had arranged with work and with all the other commitments of the weekend to make sure that he got there for that one game. And he would do the same for music. And he would always ride up and follow us to the state competitions in Salt Lake, just, you know, never get involved, make sure he had his distance, but he always made sure he was in our eye shot so that we could look right at. I don't think I can remember a concert or a ball game that I didn't have him right where I could see him. And when I moved to Denver, he was the one that took the time off for my big break away from Utah that I'd never done before. He stayed with me till I was ready. And as soon as he got home, he called me and told me that it was one of the hardest things he'd done. But now he felt like he had his third missionary. Even though I wasn't called with the church, I was able to go and do the same type of work. And that was so important to him. The church and spreading the gospel and keeping the family. That's number one priority. And that is my memory of my dad. And I will always know that he loves me and will be right there with me and with my husband and with our daughter, who we also love so much, and she never had that doubt in her mind. When he couldn't talk, he always had a smile for her, and he always let her climb all over him in his chair. Even when it hurt, he would still let her do that. Thank you for letting me share my memories with you all.
Okay, it's on. Okay, I guess I was kind of the spoiled one. I had two older sisters that Once they got married, spoiled me even more than they did when I was a little kid, which is great, but I think the most part was that when they were gone, I had Dad to myself. And I could, when Mom was at work, and I didn't have to be at school, or I didn't have to be at work, and Dad wasn't at work, we would go and walking, and we would go sit down and watch a game, we would just sit and talk. And some of those experiences were so priceless, because it was just me and Dad. And one of my fondest experiences is not as happy as some of the others, but it just showed me how important his family and the gospel was to him. The day before I went into the MCC, I was able to spend the whole day with my dad as he was getting tested. And just to see his joy about, he had to deal with all this stuff. He had to find out. But he didn't care at that point. This was just side stuff. I was there, and that was the important part for him. And we got a call that night that said, don't let him drive. Find a way not to let him drive, because he has a swelling in his brain. When we drove up, I drove up to the MTC the next day. Mom drove home. And I remember one of the things that he said to me. He said, if you have any doubt of where you're supposed to be, you're at the right place right now. Don't worry about me, don't worry about Mom, because that doesn't matter. You're doing what the Lord wants. And then when I flew out to New York, he said, I'm going to fight so I can be here when you get back. I looked at him and said, you will. You'll be there. And from what I understand, after that, he said, you need to tell people, I've got 2 years. I've got at least 2 years. That I will be here. No matter what the doctors say, I'll be here for at least 2 years. I was able to spend one full year after that with him. Reminiscing, and if any of you have heard the Harry Potter books on tape, the man that reads those is amazing. But we put one of those on, and he just said, no, I want you to read. So I was able to sit and read some of those books with him. And every now and then Mom would sit in, but it was mainly just me and Dad that would go through those books. And some of those, just those moments that I was able to share with the Lord, to let him know I loved him, and to know that he loved me, those were some of the best moments.
Probably I fell in love with him because we started dating and went to church together, and he would always choose a bench behind somebody that had a little kid. And invariably, before the meeting was over, that kid was in his lap. And I said, I could love this man. He's taken such good care of me and our family. He has truly been a choice spirit on this earth. I'm going to miss him. I know he'll be with me whenever I need him. I can just see him talking a mile a minute to his family over on the other side. He's probably checking up on every single person that he knew that's gone on before just to make sure they're doing okay. Because he didn't care about himself. He wanted to make sure everyone else is doing okay. And we loved him. And I'm sure our Heavenly Father is pleased that he is returning home. And say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we have certainly been blessed to be here today. Learn more of Larry's outstanding qualities, his ability to love. We will conclude the services with a great dedication by Skyler, at that conclusion, the Relief Society of the South Dakota Temple Ward has prepared a luncheon for you. The Steak Center is at 1250 East, 4800 South. So feel free to go over there and visit, spend time together as family and relatives, and the sexton here at the cemetery will be able to complete the grave possibly within an hour and a half to 2 hours if you wish to return before you go on the same tour. It's not it.
Father and mother, we want to come before you now. To come up and authority of the Holy Mark as a priesthood, to dedicate this book of very value to you. This time we ask thee to keep it safe, to keep it holy, that it will last until the resurrection, and that he will be able to rest in peace, accomplishing all that thou hast in store for him. That he will be able to remain a strength to all those that come and visit, and that this place will be a place where thy Holy Spirit can be felt always, and with great power. That those who come to visit will know the greatness of this man. That they will know what he stood for and the importance of the gospel played in his life. We ask you to allow him to continue doing the missionary work that he did in life, to share his love with those spirits that are in need, and allow him to continue to live the glorious life in the manner that he did. And this we do in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you.